I have the extreme honor of introducing to you, many of you know him, some of you may not have met him before, a dear brother from Sri Lanka. His name is Pradeep, and years ago he ministered here at Church of the Word when we were at the other building, I believe in, 2008 or 9, maybe 10, maybe several times. It was before I was here. And I know that there was deposits put here way back then, and at the landmarks, the Lord used him to really minister into Jen and I's life, and I don't even know if he remembers that, but the Lord gave a real strong word to us through our brother, and it all came to pass, hallelujah. So he's not a false prophet, so there will be no stoning today. Brother, come and give us what the Lord's put in your heart.
Thank you. Good morning. Hallelujah. It's such a joy to be here this morning and to bring God's word to every one of you. I came in 2008 when Dale and Terry were pastoring the church in the other building. Many times, 2008, 2009, 2010, too. So thank God for this opportunity and for this time that we have together. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2. This morning, I'm going to speak to you about the harvest. I'm going to speak to you about the harvest. The title of my message is titled as A Vision for the Harvest. A Vision for the Harvest. Hallelujah. I believe that God is going to stir something within you for souls. Amen. Souls in your community, souls in the high school, souls around the block, souls in this nation and in the nations of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Here in Luke chapter 2, verse 26, it says, "And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was a righteous and devout man, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen in your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people.'" Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. In the next few minutes, I pray, Lord, that there'll be a transmission, there'll be an injection of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord, for this precious time that we have together. Holy Spirit, that you would just come down. Have your own way today, oh Father. I thank you, Lord, for healing people. There's somebody here that you have such excruciating pain in your neck, and God is healing your neck right now. And I believe that that pain is coming not because of something wrong that you've done, but it's a spirit of infirmity. So this morning, I command that spirit of infirmity to be cast out of your body right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's somebody else, you have incredible pain in your knees, and God is healing your knees right now. The healing power of God is flowing into your knees right now, and God is healing you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. There's somebody here this morning. You've come into this service, and you're about to make a decision. You're about to say some things to somebody, and it's going to bring a lot of disharmony and a lot of discord. But the Spirit of God is saying to you this morning, to hold back, to hold your words back, and to be patient. And the Holy Spirit is saying this morning for you to trust Him, And God is saying that he will undertake and he will bless you above and beyond what you can expect. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. A vision for the harvest. Here was a man called Simeon. Sometimes when we talk about the harvest, you think that, hey, you know, I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not an apostle. And many times, you know, we feel inadequate. But this morning, the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart. You know, many times we hear sermons. We hear about the Apostle Paul. Right, Karen? Amen. Karen, you know, such an encourager. Every time I see Karen, I get really, you know, encouraged. I feel like doing the ministry when I see Karen because she's always sunshine. Amen? Amen. Thank God for Karen. Hallelujah. God bless you, Karen. So every time when we hear messages, we hear about Paul, we hear about Peter, we hear about, Joshua, Elijah. But here, the Bible talks about a man named Simeon. Hallelujah. Simeon. So I believe that God wants to use, you know, ordinary people like you and I to do extraordinary things. Amen? Sometimes, this morning, you may feel like, no, I can't do it. You may feel like there's a circumstance, there's a dilemma in front of you. It seems like a mountain. And at times, you feel I'm unable to do it. Sometimes you feel like giving up. But the word of the Lord this morning is from Mark 9:23. It says, if you can believe, all things are possible. Amen? All things are possible. Here was a man named Simeon. And one of the greatest things that Simeon did was he was faithful. Amen? When I saw Karen this morning, you know, sweeping and being at the door, I've seen Karen when Dale and Terry were pastoring the church many years ago. They've been so faithful. Amen? And over the years, they've been faithful. Hallelujah. And such a blessing. And when you're faithful, we read this scripture this morning in Hebrews 11:6, that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen? God is a rewarder. He was a just man, a devout man, a righteous man. He was faithful in coming into the house of God to pray. Hallelujah. God is going to reward your diligence. Amen? Hallelujah. The word of the Lord this morning is put your leg on the accelerator. Hallelujah. Just put your leg on the accelerator and keep going for it. Hallelujah. Don't stop. Hallelujah. The enemy is trying to throw stones at you. He's trying to, you know, intimidate you. He's trying to say things to you, but just keep going. Hallelujah. Amen. God is releasing a relentless passion over your life. Even as I speak, I'm just imparting, I don't have anything to give you. I'm not, you know, a super gifted person. But what I have is hunger. Amen? I'm releasing a hunger within you to be hungry for Jesus. Amen? To be passionate for him. And if you're faithful, God is going to reward you. Amen? God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Many years ago, I tell everybody this. If I can be saved, anybody can be saved. As I was growing up, I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad raised us up really well. We were taught the word of God, you know, good discipline, good moral values. Everything was, you know, fantastic. But deep in my heart, I didn't want to follow Jesus, you know. But my parents were sowing the right seeds. The atmosphere was good. The house was good. Everything was good. But deep in my heart, I found some friends. And I was, you know, making my own plans. One day, I was seated in church on a Sunday. And I remember that day very clearly. I sat there and I said, I will never become a preacher. As a young person, you know, every young person, they have a quest. And their quest is significance, looking for meaning, and looking for unconditional love. And that was me. I was looking for significance, meaning, and unconditional love in the wrong places. So for a while, you know, sin is cool, sin is good, sin is joyful for a while. But as time goes on, sin zaps out the life within you. Amen? And I was feeling it. In my teenage years, I was feeling it. And I was zapped out of all the life that God had put into me. I remember going for a camp one day. And I went for this camp, and my pastor was wondering, why did Pradeep come for this camp? Because I was such a prodigal person. And when it was testimony time. And when everybody was giving such beautiful, impacting testimonies, I got up and I said, I came for this camp. And at this camp, I found a girlfriend. And everybody started laughing. And my pastor said, oh no, he's here back again. Oh, I don't know why he's here. So the pastor's wife was my Sunday school teacher. Every time she sees me, she sees this, it's a face of horror. I don't know why this guy is here. But I want to tell you something, beloved. You know, God honors prayer. The Bible says in James 5:16, the fervent and the effectual prayers of the righteous availeth much. In my heart, if you did cut up my heart 30 years ago, I had decided that I was not going to follow Jesus. My heart is full of, you know, the pleasures of the world, it's, you know, running after a sports career. I was never going to follow Jesus. That was my heart. And I had hardened my heart and I said, if any preacher comes and starts preaching at me, you know, I'm not going to accept Jesus. So my mom and dad decided to get this Indian prophet to come to our house. And he traveled all the way from India. He did a big crusade in Colombo. And it's really difficult to meet this guy. There are people waiting for 6 months to meet him. My mom and dad were able to get him to our house. So I decided to run away when he came. I said, oh my goodness, I don't want any prophet in my house. I'm not going to listen to a prophet. But he prophesied and he said, Pradeep is going to be a preacher. And let God's word be true. Amen. And when you're faithful in prayer, God is going to reward you. I'm telling you, mothers and fathers, I'm telling you, grandparents, you're praying for your grandchildren, you're praying for your sons and daughters. Some of them may be on drugs today. Some of them may not be, you know, hot for God. But I'm telling you, as you're praying, there's a time that God is going to answer your prayer. In 1989, in the month of April, I remember that day, in the month of April, on April the 21st, I didn't know. It was an ordinary day for me. I was at rugby practice. And suddenly, out of nowhere, I got tackled and I broke my leg. And on that day, you know, Jesus spoke to me. He said, Pradeep, if you give your heart to me, I will make something out of it. And suddenly, you know, the walls came down and suddenly I made peace with Jesus. Amen. Jesus came into my heart. Amen. And everything changed. I'm telling you, beloved, you know, this morning, if we are faithful, amen, all things are going to be possible. Being faithful and being diligent, hallelujah, in prayer, in intercessory prayer, God is going to bring a revival, you know, a continual revival to this church. I'm so happy for what God is doing here. What was started by Apostle Dale, you know, that apostolic anointing on his life is continuing strongly through Sid. Amen? And I believe that it's going to go stronger and it's going to be stronger and stronger. Amen? The days ahead are going to be strong. But God is calling the body into a place of prayer. Hallelujah. praying for the city, praying for the schools. Even as Sid prayed this morning, God is releasing a prayer anointing upon you. Amen. And don't underestimate your prayer life. Don't underestimate your time. You know, sometimes the enemy is laughing at you because there's a shooting somewhere and you've been diligently praying and fasting and you see some shooting. But I'm telling you, the time has come that those things are going to stop. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is going to move. Hallelujah. Prodigals are going to come back. Hallelujah. God is releasing an authority. God is releasing an anointing that breaks yokes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The prisoners are going to come out. Hallelujah. They're going to be shaken by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Because the gospel is powerful. Chains are going to break as the church arises in prayer. Amen. Because God is faithful. The Bible says a faithful man, you know, abounds with blessing. Hallelujah. Sid's blessed with a nice wife. Amen. And you're blessed with a good family, abounding with blessing. But more are coming. I'm not saying you're going to have more children. But more children are going to be added to the house of God. More sons and daughters are going to be added to the house of God. Amen. This is going to be an apostolic center. Hallelujah. The seed that has been put into you by the apostle is going to continue. Amen. You're going to raise more sons and daughters. Hallelujah. It's going to be an apostolic center. Hallelujah. The work is going to thrive. Amen. And I believe the Lord is, you know, showing me a picture about you, even as you go on this trip. And even when you come back, God is putting a massive sword in your hand. It's huge. And as you go, God is saying, use the sword. You're going to see signs and you're going to see wonders and you're going to see miracles as you go on this trip to Turkey. You're going to see the power of God. You know, as you begin to raise up the sword is the word of God. There's great power that God has invested in you. And there's potent power that God has put in your life. There's an anointing that He has put in you. And even when you come back, you're going to see a greater increase in the house here in Lancaster. You're going to see a greater increase in this church and in towards the next few months. You're going to see an increase coming into the house. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Being faithful. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, you know, do not be weary in sowing. In due time, you're going to reap if you do not give up. Don't give up. Sometimes you might feel like you're a small onion, Larry. You may feel like you're a small onion, but you're not. You're a mighty man in the house of God. My dad, you know, in Sri Lanka, he had a vision for the nation, and he was going all over the nation doing prayer meetings. These prayer meetings were not big. They were small. But many pastors were gathering together to pray all over the nation of Sri Lanka, from the north to the south. Great favor with pastors. In Sri Lanka, to get pastors together is very difficult. But God gave my dad that favor to get these pastors together. And they were praying for years and years. I'm telling you, God rewards, you know, faithful people praying together. Amen. The Bible says, if two agree together, touching anything, it shall be done. God wants to do something. Amen. It will be done. And in 2009, I'm telling you, there were many people, many churches, many denominations. I'm not just trying to lift up my dad, but I want to honor. Where honor is due, we need to honor the man of God, the woman of God. We need to honor that person. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I see Terry there. I want to honor you, Terry. Amen. I want to honor her. Hallelujah. Every time I stayed in their house, they made the best soups. I was soaked in soup. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Terry. Hallelujah. She did such a fantastic job. Amen. And they were so, you know, loving and compassionate towards me. You know, when I first came, and they opened the door for me in this in this city and in this area, and I've been able to, you know, be faithful, you know, to to the Amada family. Amen. So I thank God for that. Hallelujah. For that open door and for that welcome. And so where honor is due, we need to honor them. Amen. You know, Terry and Dale, I honor them for what they've done and invested, and for this church, Church of the Word International. So as my dad was praying and leading prayer rallies all over the nation, they were small prayer rallies. They were not big prayer rallies. There was not 100,000 people. But I'm telling you, there was about, without exaggeration, about 500,000 prayer warriors that were raised up in prayer to pray for the nation. Hallelujah, 500,000. And I'm not saying this. You go to Sri Lanka, you ask somebody, they will tell you that. You know, but it all starts with, you know, small groups. It's not big. Small groups. Amen. And God does big things. And the war in our nation ended because God wants to reward His people. People dying through war. Children dying. Amen. Anxiety and fear. Sometimes I walk out of the door, I don't know whether there was going to be a bomb. Just before I was going to get married, I was driving my wife to be, you know, on a road, and suddenly a bomb went off. My wife was wondering, you know, what on earth is happening in Sri Lanka? But the war ended in 2009. It's the power of prayer. Hallelujah. So tell the person next to you, you are powerful. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you are armed and dangerous. Because God has given you a weapon. It's the weapon of prayer. Amen. And here we see, you know, Simeon was a faithful person. I mean, God takes ordinary people. God doesn't need, you know, super talented people. He takes ordinary people and He does extraordinary things. God wants to do extraordinary things. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says in verse 25, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Amen. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And this morning, I want to quickly wrap up my message. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, you know, hope doesn't disappoint you because the love of God is shed abroad through the Holy Spirit. As we continue to, you know, walk in the Spirit, what happens is God is going to release His love upon you. Amen. The language of the Holy Spirit is a love language, even as Karen was sharing this morning about the muscle. Amen. God's language is the language of love. The language of the Holy Spirit is a language of love. The more we begin to walk in the Spirit, you know, our heart becomes tender. Our heart becomes loving. Amen. This morning, the Holy Spirit is here. And Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Hallelujah. And when the Holy Spirit is upon you, the love of God is in your heart. When the love of God is in your heart, hallelujah, also hope is activated within you. Amen? Because the Bible says that hope doesn't disappoint you. Amen? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is here. Amen? Beloved, walk in the Spirit. Endeavor to build a bond of unity in the Spirit. Amen? Maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's with friends. Always walk in the Spirit. We live in a world that is so callous. They're very flippant. They speak bad words. There's words of condemnation. There's so much of backbiting, slander, malicious discussions. But the Lord is saying to you to walk in the Spirit. Amen. To keep a pure heart. to keep a tender heart, and your heart is going to be full of love. Amen. Your heart is going to be full of love. Amen. As you begin to do that, the Bible says that, you know, see in verse 26, he came into the temple in the spirit. See, sometimes we put a lot of, you know, pressure on a pastor, say he's got to do this, do that, do that. But I'll tell you, you know, when we practice, even as Karen said, of walking in the spirit, amen, we come to church in the spirit. You know, we're not just waiting to receive something from God. We are already ready to receive before we come. When you're walking through the door, you know you're ready because you've already prayed for the pastor, prayed for the service. Amen. I went and joined Karen and Larry this morning downstairs in the prayer room. Oh, man, it was hot. It was full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. I love that. Hallelujah. There was more fire there. Hallelujah. There's so much fire in the Holy Spirit. You know, they were preparing, you know, the whole meeting, this meeting. They were preparing the ground for the meeting. And what happens is when you come in the Spirit, you're able to receive. Amen. Your ears are open. Your eyes are open to see what the Spirit is saying. Sometimes, you know, if we don't walk in the Spirit, we don't receive anything. Oh, that was a boring service. I didn't get anything. Did you? You know, if you get that response, you know, there's something wrong in their spirit. Amen. I didn't get anything today. Oh, it's the same message. Some people, oh, Pastor Pradeep, you know, it's the same message, you know. It's the same message. I don't even bother about it, you know. I don't bother about it. It's okay. Reinhard Bonnke said he uses the same message, hallelujah, to hit the works of darkness, hallelujah. Amen. It's the same weapon. You use the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You come into the church in the spirit. And beloved, you know, when you walk in the spirit, God will begin to give you a loving heart. This is what really matters. A loving heart. A loving spirit. This is where Christianity is. You know, this world has a deficit of love. Amen. So many people are angry. You know, anger just rises up because you think about, you know, the enemy always want to kill, steal, and destroy. When I came for the Landmark, you know, there were so many things that happened before I came for Landmark in New York. I could have come with a bad spirit. And, you know, if a preacher has a bad spirit, he'll sound angry, start yelling at people when he's preaching. Repent! You're going to hell! Hallelujah. Got to have a good spirit. Amen. God is love. Hallelujah. Amen. And when you begin to walk in the spirit and you come in the spirit into the sanctuary, what happens is God is going to rise up on behalf of you. Sometimes we rise up on behalf of ourselves and we are fighting in the flesh. Amen. You know, the works of the flesh is futile. But if you walk in the Spirit, it's powerful. And let God fight your battles. Amen. Hallelujah. When you walk in the Spirit and when you're walking in love, the Jesus is going to go ahead of you and fight your battles. Hallelujah. I'm declaring victory over your life. Hallelujah. Whatever you're facing, you're going to see victory. Firstly, you're going to see victory over your life, over your spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs, you know, if a man can watch over his spirit, it's like a city with broken walls. You know, if your spirit is very flippant, you know, the way we talk is flippant and loose. It doesn't bring grace to the hearer. Amen? It's like a city without walls, no authority. The enemy can come in and destroy you. But God is saying to walk in love, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in love. Watch out. You know, the way we talk, the way we think, our thoughts. You know, I'm having such a revolutionary time with God because He is teaching me. Amen. We need to be teachable daily, like little children. He needs to teach me. Amen. I was almost going to wear a chain called the widow's mite, but people might think, hey, that's crazy. Why is he wearing a chain like that? The widow's mite. It talks about, you know, going all out for Jesus. You know, giving it your all. And it starts by walking in the Spirit and walking in love. Amen. You will see more signs and wonders unlike ever before. But it starts with us. It starts with the person. More signs and wonders, I'm telling you. Whatever you're going through, God will begin to give you victory. And you will feel the peace of God. Amen? Because we are not battling. Sometimes we want to get even with people. You know, sometimes somebody's hurt you so badly. They said lies about you. Amen? All of a sudden, you want to get even. You want to pick up the phone and you say, hey, you know, I want to confront you. You know, sometimes we want to say the right word at the wrong time. Broken relationship right there. You've got to say the right word at the right time with the right spirit. Amen. So you build the person up. Amen. Hallelujah. Walking in the Spirit. Isn't this good? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. This is where the revival is. It's a revival of love. Not a revival of hyper grace. Amen. Ooh, I feel the love, Pastor, today. Amen. But you got to go right down into the innermost recesses of your heart and deal with those issues so that love will become a sustaining love. Amen. It'll be a love that you will go from glory to glory. You will begin to see the glory of God in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. In verse 29, it says, the word, it says in verse 29, the Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Beloved, I want to tell you, God is releasing a vision for the harvest. Simeon was a just man, a devout man, a simple man. But he was able to carry Jesus. Amen. Years of travailing in prayer. And suddenly that moment came. He was able to hold Jesus. Amen. The word was being fulfilled. See, God honors faithfulness. He rewards your faithfulness. Amen. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for. Faithful means, you know, full of faith. And if you're walking in faith, what happens is God begins to activate hope within you. In Romans 15:13, it says, if you begin to believe God, peace and joy will be released to you. And the Holy Spirit will begin to abound within you. And with that comes hope. Hallelujah. Amen. God begins to give you hope. Today, there's hope that's been activated within you for people who are perishing, loved ones, amen, friends. God is giving you a burden for them. Hallelujah. There's a greater love that is rising within you. It's not just a flippant prayer, but there's a love, hallelujah, that is rising within you for your loved ones, for your families, for the nations, hallelujah. God, send me, and He's sending you with His agape love, hallelujah, through the Holy Spirit and full of power, hallelujah. Amen. And you are going to see something, hallelujah. You're not going to be disappointed because there's hope that is within you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In verse 37, in closing, John, can you just come and play something? And verse 37, there was a lady named Anna, somewhat like a lady like Karen here. Anna. Karen has children, but Anna didn't have children. But this lady, Anna, was amazing lady. And sometimes you may not know who this person is. But in these closing moments, you may have come in this morning and you're discouraged because of a circumstance in life that has made you paralyzed. Anna lost her husband at a young age. Just imagine, you're a young person and you just get married and you lose your husband. Anna was a person like that who lost her husband. Dear one, this morning if you're here and something bad has happened to you and that is defining your future, that is defining your faith life, that is defining your belief system. I believe that God has sent me all the way from Sri Lanka is to speak to you, is to lift you up from the doldrums of discouragement and despair. When you're discouraged, what happens is you feel like giving up. When you're discouraged, you are always toiling with the idea of unbelief and doubt. To me, unbelief and doubt is demonic. It's demonic. But the Holy Spirit, the Lord is here and He loves you. He cares for you. Anna made a decision that she was not going to give in to her circumstance or what has happened. That's the reality. There was a death in the family. That's a reality. But she put her trust in God. And she gave her life. She made a decision. And she committed her life into fasting and prayer. A lifestyle of fasting and prayer and worship. She came into the house of God every day to worship God. And she saw something that other women didn't see. God began to open things up in the spirit to her and show things and made her a prophetess. She began to speak to her, show her dreams and visions where other people didn't see. Perhaps there were times where Anna was struggling and wrestling. God, I see other young women with children, but I don't have children. Perhaps she struggled with that, but she made a decision that I'm going to give my life to fasting and prayer. And for the nation of Israel, this morning, God is speaking to you, beloved. You may be a man, you may be a woman. God is calling you into His presence, into the secret place to pray for this nation, for this community, for the nation of America, for the city of Lancaster, the state of Pennsylvania, and for the nations of the world. And then when you do that, God is going to lift you up, hallelujah, into a higher place, hallelujah. You're going to sow with Him. He's going to bless you beyond your greatest imagination. He's going to do exceedingly abundantly above how you could ask or think. There's going to be a fire in your belly unlike ever before. Hallelujah. God is going to do a sign and a wonder in your life. He's going to use you like never before. And if you're that person this morning, I want you to come forward. Hallelujah. In these closing moments of this service, just come. Hallelujah. And just commit your life. Say, God, here am I. Send me, Lord. Send me to the high schools. Send me, Lord, to the byways, to the highways. I want to be used of You, Lord. I want to be a Simeon. I want to be an Anna, Lord. Use me, Lord. You may feel like you're a housewife. I'm telling you, you know, you got the greatest ministry. The biggest ministry, hallelujah, is in your hands. Just come, hallelujah, and say, Lord, I want that fire. I want that fire. I want to release a prayer anointing over your life. An anointing to pray unlike ever before. Hallelujah. You're going to wage a warfare. Hallelujah. You're going to wage a warfare, hallelujah, and see victory. Victory in the high schools. Victory in the streets of America. Hallelujah. You're going to see a victory. Your young children, your grandchildren are going to be armed and dangerous. And they're going to be witnesses, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Father, I release an anointing over my sister right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come, fall afresh right now. Holy Spirit, fall afresh, hallelujah. Your tears are going to be turned into tears of joy, sister, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Touch my sister, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's the dawning of a new day, sister. It's the dawning of a new day. New things are going to erupt. New things are going to spring forth. In the name of Jesus, arise and shine, for the Lord has come. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, anoint her today. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord says, look up, my daughter, for your health comes from me. Look up, look unto him. Look unto me, says the Lord, for your help comes from me, says the Lord. Today, the Holy Spirit falls afresh on you today. Falls afresh on you like never before. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. He's touching you. Hallelujah. He's breathing upon you this morning. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on my sister. Eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is illumining your eyes. Hallelujah. Eyes of understanding. Hallelujah. Thank you. You're going to see very clearly. Hallelujah. Clarity is your portion. And you're going to hear the voice of God in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Touch a Lord. Touch a Lord in Jesus' name. Thank you, Mama Daka Sharam. Touch Karen right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. They're going to abound with blessing, Lord. Abounding with blessing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Touch Larry, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, more in Dara Masa Tira Basha. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Mo Mandika Sandol. Esharabasa. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Touch my brother right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Reba Satira Makasha. Thank you, Lord. Touch my sister right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 You're going to experience and see the greatness of God. The greatness of God. Hallelujah. That's your portion. The greatness of God. Everywhere you go, you're going to deposit strength and power. And joy and breakthrough and freedom in the spirit. Because you allow him to turn your pain into holy oil. Hallelujah. In this end time harvest, you're going to burn with fire. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is making you a carrier of his fire. You will allow that pain to be pressed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And full of anointing and Holy Ghost oil in these end times, to be a carrier of that Holy Ghost oil in Jesus' name. You're going to prepare the church, hallelujah, for the end time anointing, the end time harvest in Jesus' name. Full of power and Holy Ghost. Revival is your portion. Revival is your portion, my daughter, says the Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on my sister right now. In Jesus' name. Go more karma satira masha. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great alignment with heaven. Great alignment with heaven tonight, this morning. Hallelujah. Just aligning with heaven. Things are going to be clear and straight. In Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on you. Fall afresh on her today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's a yielding that is coming within you. And God, Spirit of God, the Spirit of God is releasing a willingness within you. Step by step. That's the word of God. That's the word for you. Step by step, you're going to see the promise being unveiled every single day as you begin to trust him and wait on him. You're going to see his promise. promise I will. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, fall afresh, Lord. Fall afresh, Lord. Hallelujah. Prayer anointing, O God, over your people, Lord. A fire, Lord. In Jesus, fresh fire of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Fresh fire of the Holy Spirit, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for Terry. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. The mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Marande, Rosaraba, Kashadarama. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Terry, the Lord is giving you a greater work. A greater work in His vineyard. There's a greater work. Hallelujah. A greater work in the harvest. And you're a carrier of the Spirit of God. You're going to water the harvest field with His anointing and with His power. Greater work also. God is given you fresh revelation. Fresh revelation is that He is revealing His heart. He's giving His secrets. And it's a powerful weapon. I see a powerful weapon, a sword in your hand as you go to the nations of the world. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. He's anointing you anew and afresh. Hallelujah. The glory of God is your portion this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for my brother. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on him, Lord. Fall afresh on him today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Holy fire, Lord. Holy fire in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. God is giving you strategies, hallelujah, in prayer, in your prayer time. Strategies. In the realm of the Spirit, God is giving you strategies in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. Thank you, Lord. Fall afresh on my brother right now. In Jesus' name. Oh, Marama. Hallelujah. What's your name? Shane. Hallelujah. You're going to rise in the Spirit. God has got a calling on your life. In Jesus' name. It's a calling on your life. Mere Masada. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help him to nurture that calling. Develop that calling. Hallelujah. That he will go forth into the harvest field, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Holy fire, Lord, over my brother right now. Thank you, Lord. Fire of the Holy Spirit over my brother right now. In Jesus' name. Holy fire, Lord. Oh, my God. What's your name, sister?
Karen.
The glory of God is around you. Ubi Rabakasha. The glory of God is around you. You see mountains, you see difficulty. The glory, the message I spoke is for you today. There's mountains in front of you, Karen. Those mountains are going to disappear, dispel. The glory of God is your portion right now. Release the glory of God. There's strength coming you. All things are going to be possible, Karen. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is your shelter, sister. In the name of Jesus. The strength of God. What's your name? Sorry, Carol. God is your shelter. He's your refuge. Underneath you are His everlasting arms carrying you right now. Make our heart of us. In Jesus' name. Thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, fall afresh. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. More of you, Lord. Holy fire. Holy fire, Mandakaramasa. Fall afresh on her, Lord. The rain of God. The rain of God is coming on you. The rain of God is coming upon you. Yay, Yabuvida. The rain of God is coming upon you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's something to do with London. I don't know. There's something that God is connecting you with London, England. Amen. God is connecting you. There's something to do with London. Amen. Something to do with Europe. In Jesus' name. Fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Her son-in-law is from London. Oh. or from Europe anyhow. We want to send our brother out blessed financially. So what we're going to do is, the ushers, if you could put a basket at the door and have an usher stay right there with the basket, please. And we're not going to pass the basket here. What I'm going to ask you to do is put your offering in that basket as you move to the downstairs for our fellowship time, because we are short on time for Pastor Demike. So just take a hold of your offering. Or if you haven't prepared it quite yet, metaphorically take a hold of it, all right, in your spirit, and let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are the one that brings us increase. And so we give our seed, our finances unto you, Lord, that they would be blessed and increase, that they'll accomplish much good in Brother Pradeep's life and in his ministry. Father, that he would go out blessed abundantly. Father, that you meet his every need according to your promises. And I thank you for doing this. And Lord, we give this offering to you as a gift of our love to you. In Jesus' name, and amen. Well, thank you, brother, for coming. And we just seal those words up in our spirit by the name of Jesus. And we're confident that this won't be the last time we're going to see him. The Lord's going to bring him back to us. Amen? Yeah. All right, one way we love God is by loving one another. So I'll invite all of you downstairs to join us for a time of fellowship.
Good morning. Glad to have you today. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. So happy to see each and every one of you here at Church of the Word International. Are you glad to be here? I am too. So blessed. You know, sometimes when you go away in other churches, you understand how blessed you are at your church, because you get a view of what's out there. And I'm telling you, we are the most blessed people on the face of the earth right here at Church of the Word International. I've always been convinced of that, but I'm doubly, triply convinced of that. Amen. I have a question for you this morning. What is the greatest thing in the world? Jesus. And Jesus is love, isn't he? 1 Corinthians 13 talks about the greatest is love. The supreme work to which we need to address ourselves in the world is to learn love. Learn love. Is love not full of opportunities of learning love every day? Anybody have opportunities every day? Every man and woman every day has thousands of them. And life is not a playground. It's a schoolhouse. It's a place where we educate ourselves. And the one eternal lesson for all of us is how we can learn to love better. What makes a man a good artist, a good sculptor, a good musician? Practice. What makes a man a good man? Practice. Nothing else. If a man does not exercise his arm, he doesn't develop a bicep muscle. And if he doesn't exercise his soul, he acquires no muscle of the soul, no strength of character, no vigor of moral fiber, no beauty of spiritual growth. Love is not a whole of the whole round. Love is not a thing of enthusiastic emotion. It's a rich, strong, manly, vigorous expression of the whole round of Christian character. You have to work at it. It's a Christ-like nature in its fullest development, and the constitutions of this great character are not only to be built up by ceaseless practice. It's not something you do once or twice. It's something you do all day long. Love never fails. Love must last. God, the eternal God, is love. And covet, therefore, that everlasting gift, that one thing which is certain to outstand everything else. You're going to give yourself to many things in this life, this journey that we're all on. But give yourself first to love. Father, we thank you for this service today. We thank you for love that rules and reigns in all of our hearts, and that you're knitting us all together as one, in one body, one stature of one man. So, Father, we thank you and give you all the praise and glory as we stand and give you a love sacrifice this morning in worship and praise. Let's all stand together.
Amen.
And let's all worship the Lord Jesus Christ and our
Father.
It's
Labor Day weekend, right? Let's burst something in the spirit. What do you say?
Amen.
Amen. God.
Father, I thank you for answered prayer. Thank you that you hear us. That when we ask something, when we come to you, that your ear is open to us, that you receive us gladly. And we come to you with arms outstretched, Lord. We come to you with open hearts. We come to you yielding ourselves to you this morning, Father. We desire to see your will be accomplished this morning, Father, that all the things that you have in your heart for us today, that whatever you would like to accomplish here this morning, Father, we say, do as you see fit. We yield it all to you. And we say, Jesus be glorified. Somebody say, Jesus be glorified.
Jesus.
Take a minute and talk to you a little bit before we send the children and the ministry workers to the various places. It being Labor Day weekend, and maybe a lot of us are looking forward to something fun tomorrow, maybe barbecues, other fun things, I don't know, whatever's on your Labor Day weekend agenda. But the biggest thing that's on the agenda for this weekend, I hope in your heart, is to worship the Lord, to serve Him in a way that would absolutely thrill His heart. Did you know you can thrill Him? Did you know that you can please Him in tremendous ways? And someone that's yielded to Him, someone that's looking to see His kingdom be advanced in the earth, is the kind of person the Lord is watching for and waiting for. And I trust with all my heart you're that kind of people. This is also a weekend that for many places marks the beginning of school. I know for us and plenty of schools in Pennsylvania, it's already begun a week or two ago. In much of the nation, schools start this weekend or this coming week. And so we have a responsibility as believers that when we pray for our children, that we pray for the schools, even if our children aren't in that school. But they're still the children of this nation, the children of this land. And while the Great Commission has been given to us to go into every land, it begins right at home, at the land that we occupy currently. And so I want to challenge you this school year, as you drive down the road and as you go past a school, allow that to be a reminder to you to lift up that school. To lift up those children, to lift up those teachers, that the Lord would encounter them. Pray protection over that school as you go by it. And you know, if you have something stir in your heart in particular, maybe it's about the school that your kids are in or about the school you're driving past, if something comes up in your heart, pray it out. Don't ignore it. You know, recently, I've had a number of times over, you know, the last 6 months where I would drive by this one particular school and just the thought would come up in me about a school shooting. And so, you know, it's easy to dismiss that in the natural and say, well, because of the things that happen in the natural, it's just easy to think that when you drive by a school. But, you know, I wasn't thinking that when I drive by other schools. But this school in particular, it would come up for me every time. So after that happened, you know, half a dozen times in a row, I'm smart enough to realize that maybe this is the Lord. Because, see, you and I can take authority over situations in the natural realm. And we can cancel those plans the enemy is trying to formulate. All right? And so one day I said something about it, and one of my sons spoke up and said, yeah, I've thought that quite often going by this school too. And I'm like, what? So we prayed right there. We just took authority over whatever was happening, and we just commanded that thing to be canceled and the protection of God on that school. And so now I've just made it a habit when I drive by that school, I pray for them. So I want to challenge you, do the same. Not just for our children in this house, but the children of this county, as you go by the schools, pray over them. We're gonna take just a moment, and we're going to do that here. Before I do that, I wanted to bring up something in particular, because we live in an unprecedented time when wrong is right and right is wrong. I mean, it's not, but in people's minds, you understand? And so many of you are familiar with, or some of you are familiar with Jesse Skaggs. He's a friend of ours, an acquaintance. Thank you, Zach. I don't know if Zach is here this morning for introducing him to us. And he's the one that teaches the Reasonable Faith, the apologetics course that we bring here and have over at another location here in Lancaster. He's a school teacher. And so he said, he posted this on Facebook. I'm just going to read it to you. He says, and he teaches, or this particular thing that he's doing is with 9th through 11th grade, okay, students. He says, so I started a new club at school this year. It's called Skeptics, Doubters, and Believers Club. It is a space for discussing the deep thing of life. Today was our first meeting, and I brought up the question of whether we could say something was actually right or wrong. Is anything truly wrong? Just about everybody, 10 students, said no, nothing is truly wrong. Even the one kid who labeled himself as a believer. I brought up increasingly more difficult examples. Is it wrong to kick a puppy for fun? No. Is it wrong to kick a baby for fun? No. Is it wrong to kill that baby for fun? No. Next, we discussed how something could be legal, but maybe wrong. I used the example of Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement. Before that, it was legal to discriminate, but maybe wrong. Could we say that a KKK person was wrong? Yes. A few students agreed that this was wrong. Okay, says I, let's go back to the baby. What if we killed the baby simply for its skin color? There was a moment of true indecision here. A few students didn't know what to say. He goes on and he quote comments, he says, fascinating. My goal here is simply to get them to see in a somewhat Socratic method that there are inconsistencies in what they believe. It is a judgment-free space because otherwise I would never get them to talk. One person comes on and commented and said, wow, that's scary. That's how the Nazis create the youth, the SS, that were willing to do anything, you know, because there was no... we decide what's right or wrong. And as you're aware, we live in a society where you're not supposed to, you know, everything is politically correct and all these things. But we know that's not the truth. There is a truth. There is right and there is wrong. But here's the thing. These students aren't the only ones in this nation that would answer that way. The land's full of them. And so what we have to do as believers, we have to be so proactive at lifting them up that truth would come to them. So pray over them. And we're gonna pray over the schools in this county, and in particular, we're going to pray for Jesse and these students that he's working with. You know what? If we lift those students up, those 10 students up to the Lord, what could the Lord do in that group of 10? I mean, he took 12 and changed the earth, right? So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you hear our prayer and that you move when we ask. And Father, I'm asking you to touch the children of this nation, the schools all across this land, the schools starting right here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, in this state, in this nation. As they return to all the different schools, Father, that you would protect them, that your angels would stand around these schools and protect them from the evil one, protect them from loss of life, from those that would come in to steal, to kill, and destroy. We cancel those plans right now, if there be any. We cancel them in the name of Jesus. I declare the peace of God over every school system in these United States. The peace of God would come and invade these school systems. Father, I'm asking you to send people to these school systems to bring truth and light and life into these students, into these teachers. And Father, that they would be encountered outside of the school and inside of the school by people that would speak the truth of your word to them. Father, open up the eyes and the understanding and the hearts of the teachers, of the faculty, of all these different places, of the school board members, all the way down to the youngest student, Father. I ask for you to encounter each person with your love, encounter them with the reality of who you are, that revival will come to this land. Father, we recognize that many times when you brought revival, it was by bringing a new generation. So we call forth revival in this new generation in the name of Jesus. Revival in these United States of America, starting in our school children. Father, come in, invade these places. We ask you, we give you permission, Father. This land is our land. It's been given to us. We tread up and down in this land, and you said wherever we put our foot, it belongs to us. So we declare this place is holy ground for you, Father, for you to come in, for you to minister to the hearts, for you to come in and encounter them in a new way. I ask you, Lord, to give our students, give them dreams and visions of you. Give our teachers dreams and visions of you. Cause them to wake up in the night and know they have met the Lord. I thank you for this, Lord. Father, I lift up Jesse to you and those students that he's working with. Lord, open up the eyes of their understanding. Encounter them with truth. Here we have someone, Father, we have Jesse that's willing to bring truth to them inside the system. So Lord, cause your anointing to grow on him, to increase on him. Give him the words to say, that his words would cut through the deception, that it would come right into their heart and find good and fertile ground, and that it would grow, that these 10, their number would grow, that this class would grow, that they would grow up and mature in you, Lord, that they would come to know you personally, intimately, and be world changers, be a school changers. And I thank you for this. We believe we receive it, Father. And I thank you, it's as good as done right now. And we call it finished in the name of Jesus. And amen.
Just to add to what Sydney was saying, what we were praying together, we were reading this morning, Sarah and I and the children, Mark chapter 10, verse 14, when Jesus was ministering and they were bringing the families, friends were bringing children to him. We were just reading that this morning. And the disciples were pushing them away. They were pushing the children away. And it said, Jesus, some translations say he was angry. Bring them to me. Who else would he send them to? Right. Of course he wants the children to come to him because he can lay his hands on them and he can bless them. And he's strong about this because he said in other places, any of you that would lead these ones away from our Father, it would be better if you put a millstone around their neck and drop them in the middle of a lake. What else is there? If you don't, or if you push, or if you lead or draw, and it's all of us who get born again older in life too, because then you're just a spiritual baby, but especially for the children. And so I think there's plenty of mercy for the children, but there's also, because the Lord knows how strong this topic is, there's a lot of mercy He wants to extend towards those who have been in the business of leading children away from the Father. Colleges, universities, the media, entertainment, Hollywood. So there's a lot of mercy, there's a lot of love, a lot of grace in this whole issue. And so I appreciate Pastor Sidney leading us into prayer in these cases. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. But one correction, he didn't say lake, he said sea, because there's sharks in the sea, and they'll eat them up. All right, we're going to send the children down to their classes and the ministry workers to all their various stations. So you can turn and greet someone. Don't take real long because we're going to try to compress everything this morning.
Well, good morning, everyone. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
I believe the Lord has a word for us this morning. Yes, it's on. People love each other in this house. What can I say? It's a good thing. If you could be seated, we will have a raise of hands for those that need cash envelopes. If you need a cash envelope for your giving, just raise your hand real high and our ushers will see that you get one. Turn in your Bibles to Luke. Unless the Lord changes things, we may be in this for a few Sundays. Luke chapter 12. You know, when I read the Bible and I read the stories in the Bible, I think it's good to get a mind picture of things. Now, these are real situations. These things really happened. There was backstories. People had lives and stuff was going on. So in this particular chapter, there was a crowd gathering. I mean, so large. It says it was thousands. And people were actually trampling each other. This crowd was huge. And in this crowd, there was a guy that was having a family feud. Okay? There is not peace in this guy's house. He's having a feud with his brother. And perhaps this guy grew up in a home where mom and daddy always settled everything. Have a dispute with their siblings, mom and daddy fix it. And mom and daddy's not here anymore because they're dividing the inheritance and there's a dispute. So he thinks, here's the top dog, Jesus. Let's go to Jesus. And we're going to start in verse 13. It says, someone in the crowd said to Jesus. He says, teacher, tell my brother to give me my share of the bed covers. I mean, inheritance. You've had any... ever slept with a sibling, you know it. You know what that was about. But you know, he's coming to the top dog here. Mom and daddy's always settled anything, and this isn't right. This isn't fair. I'm not treated fairly. Come on. Make him. Put pressure on him, Jesus. And Jesus, let's notice how he responded. Notice he didn't say, well, absolutely. Of course, I just love setting people straight. This is what I do, because I'm in charge, and I love being in charge, and I like taking control, and I like telling people what to do, so let's go. No, he says, but he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? Who made me the mediator? I'm not stepping into this. But he saw a danger here. He saw a danger in this situation, and he says to him, take care, watch out. Be on your guard against all covetousness, against all kinds of covetousness, some translations say. In other words, covetousness can be sneaky, and it can come in various ways, in various forms. You might think, no, this is what's owed me. But he saw something here in this guy that was a danger. I'm not saying he told the guy you're in covetousness, but he saw a danger. And look what he says next. He says, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. In other words, don't look at your possessions. Don't look at the money or the resources that we have on this natural plane as your source. Don't have faith in that. See, as situations come up, we need to be checking our heart. I mean, he said, be on guard against all kinds of covetousness, so let's be on guard. And as situations come up, we need to be checking our heart. Well, what is my faith in? What am I trusting in? Is it in God or is it in a person? Is it in God or is it in my bank account? Is it in God or is it in my job or in my investments? You know, I've got my stuff in silver, that's, or gold, that's rock solid, ain't nothing. No. If it's not rooted in God, it's not dependable. It's not something you can rely on. And a way to reveal where your trust is or what you're relying it on is what is your response when that thing that you weren't trusting in dissolves. You know, you're here on Sunday morning, and yes, amen, God's my provider, I'm trusting in him all the way. And then you go to work, and you find out that five people are getting laid off, and you're one of them. What do you do? What are we going to do? I've got twins on the way, and we's going to add on, and now I don't have no job, and do we spaz out? See, our faith must be rooted in God. He is the provider. Anything else you can't depend on. Mark 11:23, didn't it say have faith in God? Right? We don't just try this stuff. We don't just try faith. You know, you hear that sometimes. Well, I tried all that God stuff and it just don't work for me. No. The Word of God is not on trial. The Word of God is not to be tried. It'll stand for eternity, whether you're with it or not, whether you're on board or not, it's going to stand. What will be tried is you and I. What will be tried is our faith. And when you hear something like that, or maybe you've thought something like that, you know, I've tried that and that didn't work. No, what happened was you were tried, your faith was tried, and you revealed you didn't have any faith to begin with, because real faith will finish. Hebrews 11:6, what does it say? Without faith, it is impossible. Not, you know, it's kind of a hard squeeze, but, you know, sometimes you know. It is impossible to please God without faith. They that come to him must believe that he exists and what? And that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, that word rewarder in the original literally means remunerator, one who pays wages. See, don't put your trust in the possession. Don't put your trust in the blessing. Have faith in the blesser. Have faith in the blesser, not the blessing. He's the payer. He's the one that's providing. He's the one that can do it. You don't need to be into covetousness and looking at that thing. You know, if that resource goes up in smoke, well, another, God can do another one. That one goes up in smoke, God can do another one. Have faith in God, not the possessions. Well, let's take a hold of our tithes and let's pray over that. Father God, we are so grateful to you that you are so faithful and so dependable. And Lord, we repent for ever putting any faith or trust in earthly possessions, earthly resources, or people. Lord, we look to you and you alone as our source. You are our provider. And as a testimony to that, Lord, we return our tithes to you. And we say, you are our source. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And amen. And ushers, you can pass the baskets. All right, Pastor Sid, why don't you come? We want to pray over our pastor. He's leaving this week, and he's going to places where they have travel advisories. So let's stretch out your hands to him. Let's pray for protection. Father, we just thank you so much for this man of God that you have in our lives, and we just ask for your supernatural protection to be upon him. Lord, we believe it is you, all the places that you've directed him to go. And Lord, we just ask for there to be lives changed, people touched in all these different places where he's going to speak. Lord, I'm asking for your angels to stand guard, stand watch round about him, that no harm shall befall him in any way, and he returns safely to us. In the name of Jesus, and amen.
And Father, I also ask you to absolutely, while I'm away, Father, you put me here, Lord, as an under-shepherd, and I'm asking you, the great shepherd, to be very, very near and dear to each person while I'm away. Lord, that you would just continue to encounter them every day. I commit each person here to your word, to your spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you protect each one, that you meet their needs, that Father, that my family, as they are here and that we're separated, Lord, that you would continue to meet all their needs as well, and that the time will go quickly. I thank you for this in Jesus' name, and amen.
Holy Father, I pray you will place him under the radar of the enemy. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your anointing will be strong upon him, and you will take him to places in the Spirit he's never been before. I pray, Heavenly Father, that his hands will be healing hands, and that his mind and his heart will be led of you.
Yes.
I pray, Heavenly Father, his travels will go well. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you are his complete, total source in Jesus' name. Every need to be met.
Yes.
I pray, Heavenly Father, that wherever you send him, you will go before. You will prepare. You will touch hearts and lives to receive the Word of God, the truth of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Heavenly Father, that this will be a blessed trip, one that be blesseder than he's ever been on before, and that you will lead, guide, and direct him wherever he goes, whatever he does, Lord. I thank you. May he be a blessing to many, many people, many, many ministries that he goes to touch in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you for this man of God. Thank you for the anointing and the calling upon his life. May you touch him and use him mightily for your kingdom's sake. And we thank you. May our prayers go with him. I pray, Lord, that you will touch people in this place.
Yes.
That you will move by your Spirit to pray and to intercede in times of need, because you know all things. And we thank you for that blessing. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for Jen right now in Jesus' name, your blessings, your anointing upon her to bless her children, to protect and keep her, that her prayers will be heard. Every need will be met. Health and strength to the whole family in Jesus' name. Lord, we just give you praise and thanks for who you are and for all that you're going to do in and through this family in Jesus' name. They're yours. Hallelujah. And you're theirs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen.